There's the promo. What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Crease tonight?
In the House of Crease tonight, we have two very talented creators, T.D. Lang and Mitch Larkins, and they're going to be talking to us about their book called Perspectives. We're also going to be talking about John Hancock's. It's coming up next.
Yo, get your hand off my... Let's get it!
Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your mats, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze!
Making moves on your own,
cast the Craze!
On your grind in the streets,
cast the Craze!
Join the movement,
cast the Craze!
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now, you know you want to do it. Cast the Craze. Welcome to Catch the Crazy Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera. And I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. It is Friday, June 17th, and we are going to be talking to two talented creators today. We're going to be going over their, you know, their journey, their story. We're also going to have a topic for today that I think is very important. Mm-hmm. It involves John Hancock, and if you don't know what that is, we will discuss it in a little bit. But if you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the channel, give us a like, comment, hit the bell so that you know when we are going live, when we do go live, which is very often. And yeah, so what's going on, Sammy? How you doing, my brother? You getting ready for a show? Actually, you would be at a show right now.
Right now, yeah.
Right now. Woo! Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm at the Dallas Fan Expo.
Come see him.
Fan Expo, Artist Alley, booth 1409. So look for the banner that says there's an alien on my toilet, or the alien is actually coming out of a toilet on display. So yeah, I'll be there. I am there. you know, whatever. It's gonna be fun. You know, So just pre-recorded. So I packed. I bagged and boarded 200 copies of single issue comics for this event. And when I think about my inventory, I'm like, oh, you know, it'd be great to come back with half of it or none of it.
It's always nice to go there heavy and come back light.
Yeah.
Although being heavy and getting there and bringing all that stuff in, man, for anybody who's done conventions, you guys already know how much of a pain in the butt the setup day is and the breakdown day. Everything in between is cool. Setup and breakdown, the worst. But yeah, not
Thursday. Yeah, and Thursday is going to be a big day because you know, we wake up. I got the morning brew, with the Crazy Crew, and then I'm heading straight off to the expo to set up my booth because we had to do it Thursday. So I'm going to go set up the booth, and then what I'll probably do is just walk in and see who's there, that's setting up from in Artist Alley or Small Press Publishers, and try to get some 5-10 minute, you know, little quick interviews for the show. I'll be streaming occasionally live from the event, directly from my table. Every morning before the show opens, I'll hit up the Artist Alley and I'll pick like 5 indies and you know, just shine a light on them, you know, who they are, what they do, what are they promoting. So I'm looking forward to that.
So everything that Sam has said has already probably happened. And if you follow us on YouTube, you'd probably see these live streams already because, you know, we record in the past for the present, in the future. just how we roll. It's how we roll. But yeah, that sounds like fun, dude. I miss doing conventions. I definitely want to start doing them again. Hopefully soon. I mean, I'm going to be at Terrificon. I'm going to be at Terrificon at the end of July. I think that's the last weekend in July. So going to be out there. That's going to be fun. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going to be, I don't necessarily have a table. I'm probably going to be at the Darkfire Press booth. So you guys, I don't know what the booth number is yet because we still don't have any of that information yet. But yeah, dude, it's fun, man. Hopefully you're doing well. You will be doing well. There's still, so it's a 3-day show, right? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, 3-day shows, a 3-day event. This is, I think, the biggest one in Dallas. This is, they say, 80,000 people in those 3 days. A lot of celebrities going to be there, but you know that could be a good thing or a bad thing. So Artist Alley is a big arena. There's about 200 artists in the Artist Alley. So definitely, hopefully, there's a lot of traffic through there because when I looked at the floor map, you have to walk through the entire event to get to Artist Alley. Yeah, so we're at the back of the bus. So hopefully they get to the back. But it's going to be cool. My wife will be there with me holding it down. So if I have to do any commissions and my head's down, she'll be engaging for me. You know, that's always a plus. The small shows, I'm always fine by myself. But a show like this, a big show where there's a lot of people, passerbys, it's always good to have a roadie with you, somebody there to support. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And but again, if you back the Kickstarter and you're going to be at the event, come and see me at the table. I'll have a special gift for you just for backing the campaign.
Sam, what campaign are you talking about? Why don't we go into Indie News and tell them?
Oh, my goodness. Indie News.
God.
I forgot all about that. Tops in the Bronx. That's the Bronx.
What is this campaign you are talking about? Hey,
bro, the campaign. It's there's an alien in my toilet. His name is Deuterius Uranus. And so his name is Dude. He's from Uranus. And, you know, he crash landed on Earth. If you back issue one, then you know he crash landed on Earth, even though he, you know, he comes off as being the smartest, most intellectual species in the universe, but he just, you know, he's not smart enough to fuel up. So now issue two, you're going to find out what actually makes him tick. So he's engaged by red ants, some rabbit squirrels, the turtle reappears. And then there's a covert operation ops team that's out to track the crash site of the UFO. So he has Agent Doe hot on his trail. He has to get out of the wood and try to survive and find refuge. You know, so this book really, this second issue is really funny. A lot of great stuff in it. So this campaign is live. What's new about this campaign versus the old one? If you haven't heard my spiel, there's a full 24-page activity book. The coloring book is back in this issue. The guidebook to all the characters. The brand new set of trading cards, which is part of the gameplay for next year, is available. There's a graphic t-shirt that's available that wasn't available in the last campaign. There's a whole lot of stuff. So, and if, again, if we get to 50 backers, I will be on this show raffling off a shirt. And if you came back, if you're watching this show today, Friday, and you go and back it because of this show, all you have to do is tag me on anywhere on social media at Catch the Craze. Let me know you did. And there's going to be a special gift in your reward bag. It's a 3-inch by 4-inch magnet that will go in your bag because you backed it during one of the live stream or the pre-recorded streams and said, "Hey Sam, I saw you on episode number 436 and I backed it." So, this is 437. So, So, and if you backed one a duck and you come and you back on this end of my toilet, you'll also get it. So, a lot of good stuff. This campaign ends in 2 weeks. So it was officially 14 days since I've launched a campaign. While we are funded, you know, I don't want to underperform from the last one. We had 86 backers. So at least if we can get to 86 or more, that'd be dope. So, so I'm excited about that. And in the event.
Yeah, well, listen, underperformance is one thing, but also you got to remember that even though, you know, that it's $1,000 goal, you know, you're over the $1,000 at this point. You got to remember that, you know, Kickstarter takes a little bit of that out of the pocket. They take fees. So that's why
It's always better. Yeah, it's always better to have more into that Kickstarter. So that's why you want to make sure that, you know, Sammy makes it way beyond, not just because he's going to be giving you more stuff, but also because, you know, you want to make sure that there is enough there to you know, produce what's promised. And yes, sometimes when campaigns end, you know, not everything goes through for whatever reason, cards expire, you know, people, you know, whatever, change their mind, whatever it is. So make sure that you definitely just, you know, spread the word, share it out.
If you're an indie creator or podcaster and you're trying to promote your campaign or your podcast, I have a special bundle just for you. So you get 4 weeks. So one ad a week on Catch the Craze podcast, a 30-second promo. You create the promo, you send it to us, whether it's a video, audio, or if you just want us to read off a press release each week. You'll get 4 ads on Catch the Craze podcast. Plus, you'll get a copy of issue 2 and the trading cards, all for $35. That is a $115 savings because the monthly ads on Catch the Craze is $150. So I decided for this campaign to make it a steal for you guys. So if you're out there and you want to promote your stuff, you can get the copy of the book. Plus, you'll get to be able to promote your show, your Kickstarter, your comic book, whatever it is, once a week on Catch the Craze podcast. And you'll be noticed, it'll be identified as the official sponsor of that episode with a link directing traffic to you. And when we post that episode on all our social media feeds, it'll say sponsored by you. So you get $115 in savings of promotional advertising on Catch the Craze podcast. Plus, you get to read a funny book and get the trading cards with it as well. So a lot of good stuff. Just let everybody know out there. So I decided to do that. So take advantage of this now because this is only up for 2 more weeks. And then once that is, if you ever want to promote on Catch the Craze, the standard monthly rate is $150 and the single rate is $35. So you're getting 4 weeks for $35, which is a single rate, which is pretty dope. I think I got struck by UFO when I made that decision, but I think it's awesome. I think we had a couple of people already who actually bought that bundle. So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good. I'm looking forward, and we crossed the threshold. We got a 601 subscribers to the channel, which is fantastic. We're about to hit 100,000 views on the channel, which is crazy. You know what's funny? We don't have, you know, the thousands of subscribers, but the views are out of control.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. People are tuning in. I mean, there's a lot of talented, listen, we talk to a lot of talented, undiscovered talent on the channel. And, we do it to give them exposure. So, but don't just watch behind the scenes, hit the subscribe button, make sure you subscribe to the channel as well. Right. You know, we're on the road to 1,000 subscribers. So, right, you know, 601 right now, let's hopefully get to, 700 by the end of the summer. Maybe by the end of the year, we reach that 1,000 subscriber mark and see how that goes.
Well, we hit that 1,000. It's party time. That's going to be a big show.
That's big show. That's going to be a good show.
Yeah, I want to make it huge live. Thank you, sir. Thank you, kind sir. I appreciate you. It's going to be amazing when we hit that 1,000. Number one, several reasons why, to get to 1,000. Number one, it'll make it easier because then we can start monetizing the show and cut our losses. But also, start putting links and images on our show on the YouTube channel that'll promote, because we have some official Catch the Craze gear coming down the road. We got the Patreon coming down soon. So there's a lot of things that we're working on. I'm excited about it. And summer's here. And I'm feeling kind of nauseous.
Not yet, bro. Not yet. I got one more announcement.
I don't know. We're trying to hold it in.
Yeah, no, one more announcement. Hold that in. So for those who backed the campaign for the Adventures of Wonder Duck, the funds should be in my account as we speak. It is Friday. And as of Wednesday, everything should have gone through. They, Kickstarter should have, sent everything. But remember, we are in the past.
Did you get the Mimi?
Hopefully I did. So,
that's right, because it's Friday.
It's Tuesday. Yeah, so it's Tuesday right now. So I haven't gotten that word, but hopefully by Friday I would have gotten everything. Now it's about sending everything to the printer. Surveys have gone out. You guys have been very good at bringing those things back. So thank you very much. But there are still some out there that I need. So go into your Kickstarter accounts, log in, and then you're going to see a big red, you know, just banner on the top that says, you know, fill out survey or whatever it says. Click on it, fill it out, send it back to me. And that way I'll have your
email 70%. I was like, oh, now he's filling my drama. That's why your email's at 70%.
It's
going to get everybody to react to those surveys.
Gotta rally
as soon
around.
As I get it, as soon as I see the alert, I get it done. Bang.
You know what it is? Okay, so I back a lot of campaigns and I want my stuff. So when I get those surveys, I want to make sure that there's no reason why those things aren't coming to me. So
Yeah, definitely.
Make sure. Because that's the only way. If we don't have your
address. I still have two boxes.
That's what I'm saying. If we don't have your address, we can't send you that stuff. You know
from
I mean?
Last March, last year, March.
Yeah, right.
2021, right. March. I have two boxes in my closet of people that I try to find them on social media. I stalk them and I couldn't get their address. And instead, I know one day that they're going to say, that jerk off Sam the Crazy Man Vera never sent me my stuff. But that's why I have a paper trail. I sent like 5,000 emails and I tagged them and I couldn't get no response. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's still there. I'm not taking that out of the box because I know one day someone's going to say, hey, where's my stuff? So I'm leaving it there.
Yeah. So make sure that, you know, get your stuff. So fill that stuff out, especially if there's an address I have to send something to. So if you have like a physical tier, most of my digital tiers have already responded. Yeah. A lot of them, actually. I think I'm missing like maybe one. But it's the physical tier. So make sure that you do, because there are questions in there like, you know, do you want the book signed, not signed? There are different things. So definitely. Anyway, now I think we're done. Sammy, you good?
Let's do it.
Medicine.
What's your John Hancock?
John,
get your hand. All right,
yo, go ahead. Why you gotta be dirty, bro?
I say anything. I say nothing.
John Hancock. So, let's
in front of yours.
Quick little history lesson for those who may know. Right, John Hancock. He was president of Congress when the Declaration of Independence was adopted and signed, and his signature was the largest or the biggest signature on the paper.
Pretty fancy.
Very fancy. And it was said that the reason why he signed it so big was that so that King George could read it without his spectacles. That's what they don't think that's true. But that's what he was doing. It's funny enough is like, that signature isn't actually on the paper. It was actually signed on another piece of paper, and it was superimposed onto the Declaration of Independence. But sometimes you'll hear like older, you know, cats. Myself, sometimes I use it. Hey, put your John Hancock right here. You know, sign this document. Put your
Have you ever seen mine? It's not fancy at all.
Yo, so check it out. So I was watching, and you were watching this too, because you had for those who don't know, The Crazy Ten or Less on Mondays. It is on the channel right now. But you were talking about Jim Davis. Jim Davis. And then I started looking at his signature. And his signature is very legible. Jim Davis. You can see it. Then I started looking at other people whose signatures are very legible. Walt Disney, right? Charles Schulz. You look at Todd McFarlane in comics. Jim Lee in comics. These names of these artists that we know, and we know who they are, and we know what they worked on. And the reason why we know that is because their signatures are very legible on anything they do.
Word.
And so I remember I was at a convention. I forget, this was years ago. And the reason why I signed the way I signed my books so that you can read it is because somebody once told me, you want to make sure your signature is legible. They know who it is, who did this work. Word. And so for those young up and coming, you know, creators and artists and things like that, make sure you have, it doesn't have to be fancy. It really doesn't. I mean, if you look at some of these guys' signatures, Schulz is just Schulz, but you know who that is. You know what I mean? Peanuts, you know what
like
I mean?
Jobs. You don't even have to say Steve, just say Jobs.
One name. Yeah, it's like Prince.
That's it, bro.
But yeah, so make sure that you sign that you have a signature that's illegible and that it's on everything you do, man.
Yeah,
Sammy, you're working on yours. What's up? You're working on yours or what?
Well, mine is just an SV. It's my initials. Wow. I know. Anybody can forge it, right? So that was what came to mind. Yeah, because anytime I signed the book, I just put SV because I'm lazy. right? And so I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to sign my signature. Hell no, you know how long that takes. So especially if you get an event, I'm like, ah.
So now let me ask you a question though. What would you sign, Samuel Vera, or would you sign Sam Vera?
Samuel. I'll say my full name, Samuel.
You would. Oh, you gotta give him the government. Why not just Vera?
Government, jeez.
You're gonna give him that government name. Why not just Vera? V-E-R-A.
Yeah, that might be nice.
Like Schultz. I mean, it's nice four quick letters. Yeah. Then you got to practice, bro. You can even make that V kind of cool too, with like a check mark. Like you can really mess. I mean, that's the thing. Like get creative with your signatures, guys. Like, you know, have some fun with them.
I got a headache just thinking about it. Right? Because I was like, oh man, now I got to try to make it look dope. Because when I looked at some of these cat signatures, they're pretty fancy. And I'm like, you know, and I was like, mine looks like a doctor who doesn't have time for the patient. Right?
That's the other thing, bro. Yeah, we're not doctors here. We're not, you know what I mean? You can't. It's got to be legible. People need to be able to read that one. It's kind of, oh, that's a Sam Vera piece.
You know what I've realized also is that on the certificate of authenticity for the books, I sign my full name. But when I sign the book, I just put SV. So there's a discrepancy there, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized, wait, Sam, you know, if people are going to go get things appraised or whatever it is, certified, they're going to want to check. So I did.
In the private chat, Samuel. Nice. Sound Kryptonian and stuff.
Yes, I know, right? I was like, all right, so I have to have some consistency. So it's something I'll think about this weekend. I'm gonna try some things when I'm at the table. But I had to figure it out because I want something that's going to be easily recognizable. I just realized that, you know, we talk about branding. That's a way of branding yourself. But I never gave it any thought until that episode and we had that conversation yesterday. So I was like,
See, I have two signatures. One signature for when I sign documents and stuff like that. And the other one for the IRS? And the other one for when I sign books. No, the book one is different than the IRS one. Yeah. The IRS one is very different. You can't read my signature when the IRS is reading it. But you can read it when people are coming to the table to get a signature for my book. Because it's important. Yeah, I think people need to see who, you know, you work so hard on these books. You know, you put all that blood, sweat, and tear. And now the last, very last thing is your signature. And you're going to, you know, skip out on it. No bueno, my friend. No bueno.
I know. I didn't really think about it until. I've been watching a lot of like docuseries of all like the masters that came before us. And, you know, I overlooked that whole piece because I was so fascinated by his stories.
Their stories are fabulous.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, the stories are just brilliant. And
but if you look at all of those, I bet some of the guys that you like I forget the creative Calvin and Hobbes. If you look at his signature, it's legible. If you look at all of them, and I think part of it is because they were comic strip artists. And
Bill Watterson.
For the most part, comic strip artists do have a very legible signature in all their comic strips.
Yes.
Very important.
The ultimate collection of Calvin and Hobbes right here.
You need to open that up, bro.
Four volumes, bro. Yeah. I did open it. I didn't take all the plastic off. This thing weighs like 500 pounds.
Yeah, see you. Look at you. You're struggling.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, you know, like Calvin and Hobbes, Jeff Smith, he has a nice signature too. Bone, you know.
Look at all of them, man. All of them. Like for me, you know, I've always been, you know, Walt Disney fan. Walt Disney, his signature is his logo. I mean, you got to talk about branding. His signature is the logo for the company.
I would have just had a stamp that had silhouette of the ears. That was it. Dunk. Yeah. That's the signature. Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. No, I think it's fascinating. You know, what are your thoughts? If you have any feedback on this or input, put it in the comments. Let us know. If you'd like us to bring it up on the Morning Brew, let us know. We'll bring it up. But, you know, I think it was a good topic. I think we're going to cut to commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to bring our guest in, T.D. Lang and Mitch Larkins. I got that right.
Don't mess that up, dog.
So just a reminder that you can actually, if you know what? We talk about subscribing to the show. I'm not going to tell you to subscribe. I'm going to let our previous guest tell you.
It's Monty Moore. I am a 30-year comics veteran in comics, games, and movies, and you've been watching one of my absolute favorite podcasts, Catch the Craze.
You are watching Catch the Craze.
What am I listening to?
And you're listening to Catch the Craze.
Where are all the indies at?
A Catch the Craze podcast.
What are you watching?
I'm watching Catch the Craze.
What are you going to do?
Subscribe now to Catch the Craze, the number one show online for independent.
Have you subscribed to?
You are an independent. Catch the Craze! Making moves on your own. Catch the Craze! On your grind in the streets. Catch the Craze! Join the movement. Catch the Craze!
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Nice. What's up, guys? How's everybody doing?
I'm
good. Awesome, awesome. Thank you guys for being on the show. I know you guys are in a whole different time zone. What time is it over there where you guys are? TD, what time is it?
It is 4:25 for me.
A.M. or P.M.?
A.M. P.M.
Oh, thank God.
This is sunshine coming through.
Oh, good. What about you, Mitch? What time is it over there? Are you guys in the same area?
Your mic is muted.
I'm so sorry. My bad. It's 19:26 here.
What is it?
7:26 p.m.
Like this military time.
You're good. You're good.
We got somebody that can actually speak English here with the military time. Good.
Yeah. I thought you said 19 for us. I mean, I thought you said 9. No, I thought he said 9:17.
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's all good. But yeah, no, so what's going on, guys? How's everybody feeling today?
I'm pretty good.
Awesome. I love the energy.
I pulled like a 16-hour shift yesterday, so I am out there right now.
I love the video games.
Can't party like I used to.
Those game consoles actually work?
Oh, that's dope, yeah.
They're from the Arcade 1-Up. I wasn't sure if I should like turn them on and let them run, but everybody would be distracted then, you know, with all the flashing colors.
I didn't see those until just now.
Yeah, oh, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty sweet.
That's cool, man.
I just moved into this house, so like, you see a mess behind me. I've got like the Lego Mario stuff. Half my statues and figures are in boxes still.
I know the feeling.
It's a pain. It's rough.
Yeah, my garage still has my boxes of all my books and a lot of my figures. I moved in last August.
So, oh, jeez.
Jeez. Holy cow. So guys, so real quick. So for those who are watching, thank you guys for coming on. And for those who are watching the show and maybe don't know who TD Lang is or Mitch Larkins, and just briefly tell us, TD, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, just introduce yourself to the audience.
I am an independent, or actually I am a staff writer for an independent film company over in LA. I've had that job I've been with that company, I should say, for a couple of years now. I write mostly scripts, most of which have not really been published yet because, you know, we're still a new company and we're still cranking out our first feature. And I went to college for a theater degree, moved all over when I was a kid. Happy to be here, man.
Nice. Awesome. What about you, Mitch?
Well, I don't have such a cool background. My background is like in like signal and communication stuff, but I've been passionate about comics and writing for years. I published my first book when I was like 21 on a dare to write something. I kind of dropped out for a little while. And then a few years ago, somebody had a charity anthology series starting up. I was like, let me see if I could write anything, if anybody would like it. Mine got selected. So then I started writing more short stories, and I've written a few more novels since then, and that's where I'm at right now, just trying to juggle hobbies and actually writing.
Awesome, awesome, bro. And you say you just recently moved. Where did you grow up, but then where did you move to, if you don't mind, you know?
Yeah, so I'm from Florida originally. You wouldn't expect it with this accent, right? You'd think Georgia or Texas or something.
True.
But yeah, I'm a Florida boy, and I've moved up north. Pennsylvania, so I'm actually getting to deal with snow and seasons. Oof. It's amazing. It's like going into Narnia or something. Like, then the goat men attack you. It's less fun, but
nice. Oh man! And TD, you moved around as well. Where did you grow up with? Like, what was that like? Where you grew up with? When did you get into comics and those kind of things?
My family moved 5 times before I turned 18. So I lived in Nevada, Utah, California, as well as Australia and Canada, all before I finished high school. So really not from anywhere in a genuine sense anymore. A little bit of everything, but not really calling any particular place home except maybe Australia, oddly enough, because I lived there about 5 years. But yeah, I got into comics when I was about 13 years old, and it was 2002. That first Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie just came out, and that was my guy. Right. And I was so happy about that movie, and I loved it so much I wanted to read the comics.
Ah, okay. So you weren't an Amazing Spider-Man fan before the movie.
I liked the 90s cartoon show.
Yes, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
So that was kind of like, and that show was also just like a really good introduction to Marvel Comics in general, because they were always plugging like, oh, Captain America did a guest star. Oh, Punisher. Oh, Daredevil's here now. You know.
Yeah.
So if you watch that show, you know most of the Marvel characters.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Mitch, which was the comic book that did it for you, man? What got you
hooked? Oh, man. So I got the comics when I was like 4 or 5, but I'm from a one traffic light town, so I had to buy them at the grocery stores back in the day. So I've read the old Sonic the Hedgehog stuff.
Cool.
Spider-Man, I've got a lot of Spider-Man, or I had a lot. I lost in a torrential downpour.
I lost
so many great things. Spider-Man 2099, if we're going to stick on Marvel a lot. Superman, I've always loved Superman. These days I'm trying to get to the more independent stuff, Common America, Atomic Robo, things like that, and even manga and stuff more these days.
Manga's taken over, man. I feel like, and it's been around. It's not that it's like new. It's been around for a while, but I feel like there's just so many kids are just reading that.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
When you go to the bookstore, anybody who still does, when I go to like Barnes & Nobles or whatever, you just see the aisles. The kids are all sitting down just reading the stuff.
It's insane. Do you guys feel like that's a trend, or do you think it's going to keep going? How do you guys feel about the whole manga movement, I guess? I'll start with you, TD.
I haven't followed the manga movement. Yeah. Like, I'm in my little bubble where I'm like, I'm rereading League of Extraordinary Gentlemen right now. Nice. I don't know anything about
that's a good manga.
Yeah, and I also missed the boat with manga and anime, where I feel like you need to get into that when you're a teenager, and I didn't. So nothing against it. I just don't really understand it, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. What about you, Mitch?
So I got in it. I'm going to show my age if my gray isn't doing it, but the original Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind came out when I was a kid as Warriors of the Wind. That will show you the original dubbing that I've seen. But I think Mr. Davis missed the perfect foothold right when like DBZ and stuff really took off over here.
DBZ, but
the big thing about manga as opposed to something like Marvel Comics is like, which run of Spider-Man or Batman do I get into? Mm. You're like, okay, well, you got to hit the 50 stuff and the 60 stuff. Oh, you got to make sure that you get the short story arc where Spider-Man fought Juggernaut trying to protect Madame Web, or the Dark Phoenix saga. With manga, it's like, okay, you just start at volume one, dude, and then you go until it ends.
Right.
Also, and indies are doing this a lot these days, is that manga, there's any genre out there. One of my favorites growing up, even though I didn't really play football, was Ice Shield 21, which is just about an American football team in Japan, or at least they were a fan club of it. And so they were trying to get Japanese people to play football through it. The guy that draws One Punch Man, if you're familiar with that, drew that. So it was very actionized, very stylized and stuff. So you could pick anything. There's plenty of romance ones out there, horror ones, as opposed to the mainstream comics where it's just superheroes mainly. Of course, you've got your Leagues of Extraordinary Gentlemen out there, but how many people like would pick that up, casually? That one's, not to sound presumptuous or anything or pretentious, is it feels like it's more refined than your average Spider-Man comics. Obviously, there's some very good ones getting out there, but that's how I feel. It's easier for casual people to get into.
It's true. But guys, so we're here to talk a little bit about the book that you guys are both in right now. You guys are both writers who have stories and perspectives in anthology, or did any one of you did both, right? And do the artwork? Just We'll start with you, Mitch. Are you the writer on a story? Or are you a writer and an artist on a story? How did that work out?
So I tried to get to art, but I'm unfortunately not talented enough for it. So I'm stuck with writing. But yeah, I have a short story in Perspectives, and amazingly enough, for some reason, they picked my first story to be the first one in the book.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know if they put their best foot forward. They're like, hey, this is the weakest one. It gets better.
Let's get rid of that one. Let's get that one out of the way.
Let's get it out of the way. But yeah, I've got a book in Perspectives. That was the second anthology a book I was in, and I was trying to write something for horror, and just the idea of perspectives was really interesting to me. So that's what my story focuses on, is how your perspective can shift in a way. That's not the overall theme of it, but that's one of them.
Awesome. And what about you? Whatever you, TD, did you do both, or were you the writer on it and somebody else drew the artwork?
Yeah, there's a lawnmower or something going outside of my apartment. So I was muted. Sorry if that's going through too loud. But
fine. No, you're good.
But no, the anthology is all just short stories. So I just did a short story, and the only real artwork on it is the front cover. But yeah,
okay.
A couple of my colleagues at the studio I work at were on a podcast with Paul Hayden, who is the publisher of ASAP Imagination. And he asked us if we were interested in contributing a short story to the anthology. And we were like, yeah. And so rest is history, I guess.
Nice. So the anthology is all prose. It's short stories. Yeah. There's no artwork. Okay. That's okay.
Got so it. What was it about the theme that intrigued you?
I guess it's just that we all have a unique point of view and all that. Well, I guess I didn't really think of the title so much when I was writing it. I was just like, what's a good story to contribute more than anything else? And ultimately, I think it did tie in pretty well with the overall theme of the anthology.
Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about what each one of your stories is about, if you guys want to share. What is the story that you wrote, TD? Like, what's that story about? What is the short story that you wrote?
So the short story I wrote is called The Surprises Never End. At the time, my pseudonym was Tim Davis, but I've since decided to go with TD Lang, since whatever. long story there that's not that interesting when you get into it, but whatever. The story is about, it takes place in kind of a dystopian future that's kind of gone backwards, where it's more rural, kind of like the Old West, than what you might expect the future to be. Mm-hmm. And the main character is a boy living in a town, and he is one of the people who's gifted with the knowing, where he can see parts of his own future, and he knows what's going to happen down the road in his life. Motorcycles. And it's about how it's really kind of a crappy thing that he has to live with, knowing what's going to happen to him down the line, and how he learns to live with it, and how he's sort of not fitting in because of the knowledge that he has. And yeah.
That sounds interesting, man. That's cool stuff. What about you, Mitch? What's that the story that leads off the book? What's that about?
So it's called Running Away. It's about, I mean, exactly that. It's about a girl running from a threat. She's running through the woods, scared. So much of it relies on twist, because it was my first attempt at a horror perspective. That I kind of have to leave it at that if you're interested, but it's I feel like it's got a good twist in it. Nice. But that's what it was kind of about, is like how my attempt was, how can I get readers to empathize and fear for this girl with a lack of description? And what was the bare minimum I could tell them at first before and slowly reveal, within a the short stories are 5 or 6 pages long, so you have to hit people hard and fast usually, but I wanted to see what I could do about dragging it out.
Yeah. Interesting, man. And listen, both stories sound like there's so much we can dive into in, you know, individually. Unfortunately, you know, we would be here, I think, for like a couple of hours if we did that. But I want to talk a little bit about the charity. So I know that you guys got involved with the book Perspectives, and there's a charity behind the book. So tell us a little bit about the charity for the book. And TD, I'll start with you, like, or I'll ask you the question. So what's the charity here?
So it's the Dyspraxia Foundation UK, and Paul Hayden, P.A. Hayden, I believe he only has one son, but his son has dyspraxia, so it's a cause near and dear to his heart. And dyspraxia is I believe it's a neurological condition in which, I think I heard Paul describe it as, it's kind of like the navigation system in your brain is a little off, where you sometimes have trouble with like movement and coordination and stuff like that. And it also tends to have, you know, sometimes there's issues with overstimulation, like being around a lot of people, a lot of noise, stuff like that, where it's a bit overwhelming for the people who have it. And it can sometimes go along with other conditions and whatnot as well. And just all proceeds are going to that foundation, which is really cool. Especially grab the Perspective Anthology from anyoneworld.com. Digital download, super easy. You get it right away.
Yeah, we'll throw that link up in the show notes. And for those listening, anyoneworld is N, the letter N, the letter E, the number one, world.com. So yeah, we'll throw that on there for you guys. And then Mitch, so as far as your work and you know what you guys will be producing beyond Perspectives, right? What do you have going on, Mitch? What's some of the stuff that people can be looking out for you?
So Mr. Hayden actually was really cool enough in one of our chats. He found out that I was writing a side series called Wild Worlds, a lit RPG series inspired by RPG video games, along with, again, manga and light novels, Konosuba and Overlord, and my time trying to learn how to play World of Warcraft with my guys. My friends have been playing it for 15 years. I tried to jump in like 2 years ago. I said, I don't know if I can handle this. So he was really interested about picking that up. So I'm going to be reissuing those books out through Anyone World. Oh, cool. It's basically about two people that come that run into each other. One's a complete noob into the adventuring world, and the other is this legendary hero, and she's trying to show him the ropes and putting up with this antics for the most part, and just their travels throughout the universe. But I also have an upcoming horror dark fantasy called Grave Vengeance, where a group of friends decide to try to make a deal with the devil by sacrificing another friend so they can get fame and fortune. But unfortunately, the sacrifice has other plans, and she decides to come back and show them the error of their way, so to speak.
Nice, bro. Nice. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, you guys are going to have to come back individually, and we're going to have to deep dive into some of the dark things in your head. But TD, what do you got going on, brother?
So the two things that are hopefully coming out later on this year are kind of linked. The first screenplay I wrote that was produced as a feature-length film, Rocky's Galaxy, hopefully that will be along, and we haven't sold it yet, but, you know, knock on wood. Hopefully that will be along later on in the year, and I will be able to plug it and let you know where you can see it. We also have a tie-in comic, because there's a comic, the main character in Rocky's Galaxy writes a comic book, and my boss at the studio was like, hey, what if we actually wrote that comic book? So there's going to be the comic book Lori's Completely Mundane Adventures in Space, published.
Was that a take from Muppets?
I think it's more of a Mel Brooks reference.
Okay. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. No, but listen, guys, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys have written in Perspectives, and anybody watching should go to anyoneworld.com. And you said you can either buy the physical copy, or you can buy a digital download. Is that how it's working?
Yep. Yeah. And Paul wanted us to especially plug those digital downloads because, you know.
Not only that, but he's got an app too. So you can order and download through that app. And it's actually, you know, a pretty legit app. I wouldn't say that if I didn't actually use it. And I actually enjoy it.
Oh, sweet. So is the app available like on the App Store specifically, or all platforms you pretty much can download it?
I believe I got it through at least Google Play. Okay. I'm sorry, I kind of just threw that one out there, so I didn't have it prepared for anything. But he seems like if it's not available, I'm sure he will have it. That dude works 27 hours a day. So if it's not available for your mobile, it will be.
Yes. Well, guys, listen, like I said, you guys need to come on the show. We'll have you individually. We'll talk shop. You guys have, I'm sure, incredible stories that you still have to tell. So please make sure that you definitely come back. And thank you so much for coming on, man.
Hey, thank you for having me. And I'm going to speak for him, Mr. Lang, at the same time. But thank you for having us both. But next time, can we have some snacks backstage? I'm a big fella. I gotta have something to munch on.
This is how it starts, Sam.
Hey, we could have snacks if we could play those video games. I'm just saying.
Anytime. It's 4-player plus, man.
Awesome. Is that a 3D printer?
I don't need more.
Is that a 3D printer on the side?
Oh yeah, my wife made me get a 3D printer too. So
and everything. I'm like, what? This guy's got it all.
If I had a 3D
printer. I'm working on it. I don't have everything yet, but y'all buy more books. then I'll be able to have another.
Yeah, make sure you buy some books, guys. Go to anyoneworld.com and download or buy or physical copies of are you guys gonna be at any shows, or are you guys doing any conventions or anything like that where people can maybe get signatures from you guys?
No, I don't think I am actually.
Okay.
I haven't planned on it yet.
Maybe come soon.
Yeah, I've kind of fallen into a routine where I don't leave my apartment that much.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I've got all the stuff here. Of course, I don't want to leave.
Yeah, no, you got it all there, bro. Like, you could print new friends. It doesn't even matter.
That's incredible. I'm gonna call you Bobby.
But guys, thank you so much for coming on, man. We'll definitely do a more extended version of these conversations. But thank you again for coming on. I appreciate you guys.
Excellent. Thank you too, man.
Yes, and thank you for the support, Mitch.
Hey, anytime, man. Appreciate working together.
You got it.
Yes, indeed. All right.
So that was the Mitch Larkins and Tim Davis, TD Lang. Great group of guys. Fantastic. They're doing their job, right? They're creating great content, having fun doing it. Check out the link will be in the summary. All you have to do is if you want to visit their work, get a copy of their work. It's there. It's a good charity that they're supporting, which is pretty fantastic.
Pretty awesome. All proceeds go to it. Like, they're not pocketing any of that. All proceeds go to that. So definitely check it out. And like Sam, I mean, we have to have them back. You know what I mean? Individually, because those guys, you know, they definitely have really cool stuff. I mean, some of the concepts for these stories that they threw into the anthology, you know, very interesting stuff.
Yeah. I think that's a project we'll be on down the road.
It's a project. Paul. He's working on something. Give Paul a follow ASAP Imaginations.
ASAP Imaginations. He's doing his thing. Big things. I mean, they post every day. I thought I was a post whore, but they got me beat.
Paul does his thing. He does his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was awesome.
That was another great episode. And again, if you haven't done so already, guys, subscribe. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Pandora or iHeartRadio, head over to YouTube channel and subscribe to the channel, because when we grow, the indie community grows. And if Spotify is your streaming platform of choice, give us a rating, 4-star rating. Put a comment. Why do you listen to Catch the Craze? We'd love to hear your feedback. Share it with a friend. Subscribe, it goes a long way for us. And again, if you're at the Fan Expo today, come over to my table, booth 1409. Look for the green alien coming out of the toilet. That'll be me and Duty hanging out. And yes,
hanging out. Nice.
And for everybody out there, if you haven't done so already, please check out the campaign on Kickstarter. There's an Alien on My Toilet issue number 2. And if Kickstarter is not your platform of choice, then at the end of this campaign on Kickstarter, I'll be running a 2-week campaign on Indiegogo, which is the catch-up campaign for all the Indiegogo supporters who refuse to go to Kickstarter. And you'll be able to get issues 1 and 2 on Indiegogo in the month of July, because this ends the 30th. So July 1st is when the Indiegogo campaign will launch. And you can, if that's your platform of choice, you can still get the books there. So anything from you?
No, that's it. Just make sure, guys, you fill out those surveys. Make sure I get them, because I'm going to start, printing things out and start sending things to you guys. The sooner you get that to me, the easier it'll be, and the quicker you'll get your stuff. So do that. Do that stuff.
And the crazy man, Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
And we are out.
This is Dizzy Kids. That's not.
Crazy. Acquiesce.
No, I was talking about my friend Acquiesce. I met him.
Say my name.
Right?
This is what you were thinking?
Oh, my. He described me. He said, I'm the
idiot. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze. On Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze. Bobby. Candy girl.